Life is harder. The decisions of life are sometimes more challenging, but God does give us the wisdom, even though sometimes we wonder if we have the wisdom to make those decisions. For instance, Susan and I have been married a long time. Yeah, quite a few years. You've put up with me for a very long time, you know, and each of us has our unique aspects of life, our the way in which we do things. For instance, I know that for Susan, in the mornings is not the time for me to ask her to make decisions about important things. For instance, do you want toast or maybe pancakes? That's not a decision. Before the first cup of coffee, those kind of decisions aren't going to be made. And I've learned that over years of hardship and over years of her saying, I don't make decisions before my first cup of coffee, which she won't drink until breakfast is served. Yeah, some of you guys know. Yeah, this is a tough place to be in. How am I supposed to make the decision about what to serve her unless I can ask what she wants? And she won't do that until the coffee's served, which she won't take until I serve her something. It is a no-win situation. Fortunately, before her coffee, she really doesn't know what she's eating anyway. So I just can serve her whatever I would like. But choices can be overwhelming. Sometimes there are choices in life that are much more difficult than we think they should be. Sometimes it feels like we have too many choices. Have you seen the cereal aisle in the supermarket? Other times we feel our choices are too limited. The choices we have are not good choices. The choices that we have are not the choices we want. But it is the choices that we don't recognize that can be the most important. Now, you may say, wait a second. What do you mean the choices that we don't recognize? There are choices that each and every one of us make in life that sometimes we don't even recognize that we are making a decision. And yet we are. And some of those decisions are the most important decisions in all of life. And over the next 4 weeks, I want us to take a look at choices we may make, sometimes without even realizing that we have made a choice. We simply are living life. We're simply doing what comes. And whatever comes, we accept that and we receive it. And we make those decisions, as I say, sometimes without recognizing that we have made them. And yet some of these choices may prevent us from experiencing all that God has for us. Choices which will ultimately lead us to live constantly looking for more, but not knowing where it's to be found, because we've already made the choice which prevents us from experiencing it. So the first choice that I want us to talk about today is the choice between purpose and popularity. Now, the problem with this choice is that some people simply don't know their purpose in life. In fact, if you were to do a survey today, even in a place like a church such as ours, where most people have a relationship with Christ and they know that their connection with Christ is of ultimate importance, and yet at the same time, if you were to ask them, what is your purpose in life? They wouldn't know. They would be mystified and they'd have to say, you know, as much as I would like to be able to say I know my purpose in life, I feel like I'm still looking. And the truth is that unless we understand our purpose in life, it's impossible to choose purpose over popularity because we don't know what we're choosing. And so for a great many people, the default is simply to look for popularity because we don't know what our purpose is. And so we look to what other people might think is important for a purpose and what other people might say is the best thing for us to live for. Some, including, for instance, the Dalai Lama, says that the purpose of life is to be happy. That's our purpose, that being happy is all that it's the best we can hope for. It is what we should strive for. And certainly we see a lot of people who follow that philosophy of trying to be happy. They want to be happy more than anything else. And the decisions they make stem from that ultimate decision that the purpose of life is to be happy. Others would say, no, it's not to be happy. It is to create the very best version of yourself. Be the best you that you can be. And so you see a lot of people who choose that. They decide that that is their purpose. And then sprouting off from that are other decisions. And maybe it's decisions to try to be fit physically. Or maybe it's the decision to try and better themselves emotionally or mentally or in their intelligence and what they know. And people pursue that and they think the purpose of life is to be the best me I can be. You know, there's nothing wrong with being the best me I can be, certainly. But is it our purpose? It's interesting, Joshua Becker, who is a minimalist guru, who says, no, it's not about stuff, it's not about anything else, but about stripping away and getting rid of things. And he says, the purpose of life is to give everything away in the service of others. That sounds pretty good. In fact, that might preach. You think that might be something we can take and we can run with. And the purpose of life is to give things away and to give away our lives and to be there for other people. Here's the problem with that. When you begin to do it as your ultimate purpose, even though it sounds good, even though it sounds like, yeah, that might just be it, even from a Christian standpoint, if we do that, eventually, if that is your purpose in life, eventually you found yourself empty. And you begin to wonder, okay, now what? I've given it away. I've given away of myself. I've given everything away that I own. I've given away of myself, and I'm just tired. I'm burning out. And I don't know what comes next. I want to give you another option. Because I believe that Scripture tells us what our purpose is. And I believe we can find that in Isaiah 43, verses 6 and 7. I love these verses. It says, I will say, this is God speaking, I will say to the north, give up. I will say to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created. Here it comes. Here's the purpose statement. Why did God create us? Whom I created for my glory. Whom I formed and I made. Bring them from all over, every corner, every place. Bring them to me because I not only called them, I created them with a purpose. And that purpose is the glory of God. Now, verse 7, this verse tells us a couple of very important things. You were created by God. No matter who you are, no matter where you live, no matter where you're from, every single person was created by God, and that means He knows you. You didn't come off of some standardized assembly line. You are unique, and God was involved in your creation. Now, that's a wonderful thing. That is a great start to a purpose statement. In looking to our Creator, if we look to our Creator as the one who is able to tell us why we were created. Because if we try to find that in ourselves, we won't be able to ultimately find the reason we were created. We must look to our Creator. And verse 7 tells us that He knows you intimately. He was involved in your creation. And secondly, He created you with a purpose, that is, to bring glory to Him. Now, created to bring God the glory. Maybe not what you expected. Maybe not what you expected, because a lot of us, we think, well, I thought I'd already discovered why I was created. I thought I'd already discovered my purpose. I was supposed to be the best, fill in the blank, the best of whatever it is that I do. Or maybe I have special gifts. I can sing. I can play. I help people as a physician. We may think, I found my purpose, and my purpose was to be the best in what I do. Here's the problem with having that as our purpose. What happens if you can no longer do what you do? Do you still have a purpose? If your purpose is wrapped up in performance in any way, whether it's vocal or whatever the case may be, it's a job, something you do. If it's wrapped up, if your purpose is wrapped up in your performance of that, what happens if you can no longer perform? Do you cease to have a purpose? No. No. Our purpose is not to be found in our performance. Our purpose is to be found in our creation and in our Creator. It takes by saying, when God says, your purpose is to bring glory to me, it takes the focus off of me and my performance and puts it on God. Who is He? Our primary, what lives out of that, because when you find your purpose, things live out of your purpose. Decisions are made out of your purpose. Things that you do and say and decide, all of those decisions are made out of your purpose. And when His glory becomes our purpose, getting to know Him and allowing Him to shape our lives are the decisions that flow out of that purpose. And as I focus on Him, I discover what I cannot do by putting myself first, He does in me by putting Him first. I find joy. I'm happy. I find great joy. Even in the times that are the hardest of times, I can find joy. I can find that I can do those things that He has created me to do. He's created me in a unique way. And so I can use those gifts. I can use those things that He's given me for His glory. I can use them in ways that point people to Him. And the truth is I can serve. But when I don't ever reach the bottom, because ultimately it's not about me. And it's not about how much I give. It's not about how much I serve. It's not about what I get rid of. It's about pointing people to Him and giving Him the glory. So the first problem in this whole question of making that decision is, do I know my purpose? But the second problem is, we may desire the approval of others more than the approval of God. We may be those people. And in a room like this, there are bound to be people who you would, if we were to take a survey, we're not, so don't raise your hand. But if we were to take a survey of people who were people pleasers, there are bound to be some in a room like this. People for whom it is so difficult not to have the approval of the people around us. We desire that. We want their approval. And this temptation to desire the approval of others more than God can be really, really sneaky. It can sneak up on us because we don't consciously perhaps make that decision. And yet when it comes to living out our purpose, we filter that through, but what will my mother think? What will my friends think? Oh, my grandmother could never stand that. And we filter our decisions through other people, and ultimately we give up living according to our purpose because we're more afraid of what others think than we are of what God thinks. We desire the approval of others more than we desire the approval of God. I want us to look at the story very quickly of someone who chose purpose over popularity. In the very hardest of circumstances, and they're not the circumstances you might expect. Hebrews 11, verses 23 through 28 is the story of Moses. Now, if you remember, Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter. It is the chapter in which we have the Hall of Faith Heroes. And so there's all these stories that are in there. And I want us to look at the story of Moses in verses 23 through 28 of Hebrews 11. It says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them." Now, Moses had very little to do with his circumstances. There was a threat of death when Moses was born. The Pharaoh at that time had decided, along with his counselors, that there were too many Hebrews. There were too many, and so the answer to that was to kill the male children who were born in each household. And so they began to kill those children, and Moses' parents, it says, were not afraid of the king's edict, and so they took him. And if you remember the story, remember that they floated, his mother floated him in a basket on the Nile, and that Pharaoh's daughter was taking a bath at that point in time and saw the baby, knew it was a Hebrew child, but yet took that child in. And that child, Moses, grew up in the household of Pharaoh. Moses did not choose to be under the threat of death. He was a baby. But the truth is he was. He was under threat of death. Moses didn't choose to end up in the household of Pharaoh, yet he did. Here's the thing. Oftentimes we think our circumstances dictate our ability to live out the purpose of God, and that is simply not the case. Circumstances you did not choose still do not take the responsibility from you to live under the purpose of God. And in Moses' life, God began to work. He began to consider who he was and what God desired of him. Now, the boldness of Moses that is attributed to Moses in this passage doesn't mean he never dealt with fear. Other places in Scripture tell us he did. There were places where Moses dealt with fear. It doesn't mean that he did not make major mistakes along the way. We know that he did. But in this Hall of Faith chapter in Hebrews, the author is trying to tell us that Moses made some faith-based decisions about the purpose of his life and how he would live out that purpose. Just because you didn't dictate your circumstances doesn't mean you can't live out the purpose of God. How would God desire for you to live with that? Live out your purpose no matter your circumstance. I want us to look quickly at the ways in which Hebrews tells us that Moses chose purpose over popularity. First, he chose the eternal over the worldly. Verse 24 tells us, "By faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter." The things which saved Moses' life could have also become the very things that entrapped him. God used the daughter of Pharaoh to save Moses from death. But he was then surrounded, he grew up in the household of Pharaoh. which means there was riches. He was used to power. He was used to riches. Those could have been the very things that saved him, could have been the very things that trapped him. How often has God used something to save us, to help us, to aid us in living out His purposes, and instead they became a trap? Those are the things that the temptation is for, the things which God desires to be used for our purpose become our trap. There is a place for the things of the world, but they cannot be our purpose. We must make decisions for our purpose that are based beyond that. We cannot mistake position for purpose. You can work hard and you can get position. You can have, sometimes by circumstances that are not your own, you can land in a position that you is a wonderful position, and yet that position is not your purpose. And we can never mistake the two. Secondly, Moses chose temporary suffering over temporary pleasures. Verse 25 says, and 26, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. We must have an eternal perspective, which helps put things into place. Both things are temporary. Whether or not it is the temptations and the pleasures, or whether it is being mistreated, the suffering that we sometimes experience, both of those are temporary. The question is, will we be willing to give up the temporary pleasures for the temporary suffering in order that we can live the purpose of God? The pleasures offered by the world are real. They are. Anybody who tells you that the pleasures of the world aren't real probably hasn't experienced the pleasures. They're real. They're pleasures. But they come at a higher cost than we can possibly imagine. And they will never substitute for purpose. No matter how much you get, it will never be enough. It's hard for us to see and make those decisions intentionally. Moses did not have to leave Pharaoh's household until he made a decision to stand with God's people. And it cost him everything. It cost him everything. But mistaking possessions for purpose will never work. No matter how many possessions we have, no matter what setting we're in, no matter how many pleasures we have, they will never be enough to substitute for God's purpose. And then finally, Moses chose God's way over man's. Verse 27 and 28. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. Now, one thing we sometimes forget, Moses could have possibly ascended to the throne of Pharaoh. Even though he was not his physical child, it is possible that Moses could have arranged things so that he ascended to the throne of Pharaoh. And what could he have done? He could have let the people of Israel go, the Hebrews go. He could have let his own people go if he had just played his cards right and ascended to the throne. Wouldn't it have been much smarter for Moses to have stuck where he was and simply pursued that route and tried to get to the throne so that he could have let those people go? Wouldn't that have been smarter? The truth is, our great plans don't really seem to work, do they? We think we know. We think we have it in grip, and we think we know what God wants to do. God's put me in this great position, and I have to make some shortcuts, I have to compromise in some places, but if I just stay here, if I just do this, then I can get to a place where I can really help people. And we make all these excuses for reasons why we should stay and continue to do the things that are not our purpose. Because we think the lie that Satan wants to tell us is that one day we'll be in a position where we can really do it. The truth is, if you don't start when you can't, when you can, you won't. Now, wait a second. If you don't start when you can't, when you can, you won't. By that time, we will be to the point where it's too high a cost. And we're so afraid to lose what we have that we never live the purpose of God. Never, ever mistake power for purpose. God's purposes in us sometimes are not flashy. Before Moses ever came back and freed his people, he spent a long time in the desert with sheep. But that's where he met God personally. That's where he received his calling. Sometimes in giving up those things which substitute for purpose, we think we have lost it all. But what God says is, be patient. I'm not through. I have a purpose for you. And my purpose will bring me glory, God says. It will bring me glory. Him, God, receives the glory. But in the process, he allows us to be used in a way that passes understanding, which allows us to be joyful, allows us to live with purpose, and that purpose never dries up because the source is in Him. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, as we come to You and we admit that sometimes these decisions that we make are difficult, they are challenging, and Father, sometimes choosing purpose over popularity is hard because there are so many voices around us calling for our attention, calling for us to live like they want to, like they think we should. And those voices echo in our minds and we hear them on a daily basis. Father, root in us that You are the one who gives us purpose, that You know us like no other, and that out of knowing You and giving You the glory in every aspect of our lives, that we find our purpose. May our lives and decisions reflect that purpose. And we thank You, and we pray this in Your holy name. Amen.